Of what the Sefer was about, and we spent some time introducing it in those introductory chaburas. But the Piazatz the Rebbe was a very remarkable individual. Piazatz the Rebbe, who of course lost his life al Kiddush Hashem at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, was a very unique Hasidic personality in the sense that his attraction was so broad and so wide, and his depth of perception of the human spirit was so deep that people were drawn to him in so many different ways. Young people were drawn to him. Older people were drawn to him. He had a certain way and a certain ability, a remarkable ability, and a deep understanding of the human spirit. And what's so amazing about his writings is that when you read some of these manuals that he wrote, these kontrasim that he wrote to guide us to deepen our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very evident that the language that he was writing with is, and the issues that he was grappling with are always very contemporary. They have a certain ability to sort of span the generations. And you don't read this as a sefer that was written in the early part of the 20th century any different than you read it as a sefer that's totally relevant as we enter into Tavshin Ayin Vav. It's a remarkable depth of, again, perception that he had. He was someone who was respected by Jews and Gentiles alike, so much so that despite his, he didn't have, you know, academic credentials, he had never studied in university, he didn't have any official degrees, and yet his understanding of the human psyche was so profound that when people would, you know, turn to him for advice, it was Kilo, he was posketing on these matters, and the secular world, you know, valued his opinion. So much so that when he would submit, he had such an understanding, again, of the human body and the human spirit, that when he would submit prescriptions to the local pharmacy, they honored it, as if he was one of the doctors in town, the way the Rambam describes that. Just like there's a doctor of the guf, there's a doctor of the spirit. And he was certainly a tremendous doctor of the spirit. So the Sefer B'nei Machshava Tova, which is a difficult term to, I guess, translate. B'nei Machshava Tova means it's a chabura. It's a group of individuals who are seeking Machshava Tova, seeking to... Ah, you made it. I was worried about you. Some have translated it as the Society for Positive Mindfulness, which sounds very New Age. Right? The Society for Positive Mindfulness. What it is that the Piazatz the Rebbe was writing, as he writes on the introductory page, which you don't have in front of you. One last coffee. I'm sorry, Rav Gersh, we'll have to... For those who come back, we'll see if anyone comes back after the first week. So he writes, and he was killed by the Nazis in 1941, I think.
Right, but was he a young man?
He was. How old was he at the time of his patira? He wasn't. There wasn't a. Meaning, he was probably in his 50s, late 40s. He was. I mean, he wasn't a particularly old person, right? We certainly lost out many good years of his life. I'm trying to remember if I wrote down the dates of his life. Yeah, he was born in 1889, and he was killed in 1943. He's 54 years old. But we have a tremendous amount of really insightful writings that he left. And it's a miracle that we have some of these writings. I mean, the way that some of his writings, the Ish Kodesh, which he wrote during the war, his drushos during the war, which are particularly painful as he's trying to mechazik people throughout everything that's going on and grappling with the major theological issues that people were grappling with in the time of the Holocaust. But he was writing to all different groups, and he was writing specific manuals in accordance with what the needs of those particular groups were. So he writes on the title page here, he says, Anshe Shlomeinu, our chevra, again, you don't have this in front of you, Ha'avrechem Sheyechu, Rotzim Lischaber Yachad. He says, many of these young men who are becoming more deeply connected to Avodas Hashem want to form some type of society, some type of group, where they'll join together, L'shem Yichud Kutchabrichu V'Knesses Yisrael, to form a bridge of a relationship to unify HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Jewish people in a deeper way. Which means that what he's hinting to, and what the Sefer is going to focus on, is that sometimes you have Jews who are very much connected to Judaism, and they're connected to the outer trappings, so to speak, of the Melech, Malchei Melachim, without having a real kesher and relationship, and not really knowing how to begin to have a relationship with God. Not knowing how to be miyachid, kutshabrichu, knesses Yisrael. Now, Hashem is there, and we're here, and we kind of meet in the middle through the performance of mitzvot, so through learning Torah, but the conversation and the relationship, the way it was intended to be, has never really had. And basically, young men were turning to him and saying, Rebbe, we need advice. We don't know how to engage Hashem in that type of meaningful way. And a lot of the ideas are certainly going to be new for many of us. The style of writing, again, it's not a difficult style of writing, but the ideas, while simple, are very profound. And he spells out at the beginning of the Sefer, and again, there's five chaburas on YU Torah for those who want to kind of catch up and fill in the missing gaps. But he begins by describing sort of what it takes to join the chabur. He says it's certainly not an exclusive chabur, we're not trying to exclude people, but we're looking for a certain degree of commitment on behalf of the members, that they're showing a certain seriousness, a certain general interest of trying to be more mindful in their relationship with God. That they feel that I'm doing a lot of the mitzvot over the course of the day. I'm going to shul three times a day. I'm being kovei itim la Torah. I'm living a halachic lifestyle. And yet there's this feeling, there's this tremendous void, this feeling of emptiness that's hovering over a person.
This wasn't a theoretical chabura.
No, this was a chabura. He describes. He says to sign up for the chabura, you have to commit to come to sessions three times a week. It was a real al derech avoda. You know, in Hasidus there are writings which are more in machshava, ideas which, you know, again are meant to also be applied. But sometimes you have, this was written as a manual for living. This was not a theoretical chabura by any stretch of the imagination. This was, he wanted to give them a text to really work with and to review and to go over more than once. It's not meant to. It's a small little manual. You can see, well, Amir Tashem will get through it. But it's supposed to be studied and reviewed, and there are real things to practice in here, to actually change one's relationship and connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to share an idea that I shared with some of my students today in YU. Now, there's a Gemara at the end of Maseches Chagiga that says, it's based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, but the Gemara says you can have a situation where you have a person who is that even it's on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says Kapela Harimon Rakaseich. So the Gemara Darshins, it says even the Reikonim Shabo, it's possible that there could be empty Jews who are Malei Mitzvos Karimon, which begs the obvious question: if a Jew is Malei Mitzvos Karimon, if he's overflowing with mitzvos, so how is he Reik? In what sense is he empty?
It's also the Gemara says that even someone.
I don't know. You tell me. Right. I mean, they're right. The Ramban's notion of the novel Berishas HaTorah is exactly this idea. That Kedoshim to you means it's not just about performing the mitzvahs by rote, but there's obviously something more. And you can spend your whole life. The Ramban gives very, you know, creative examples of how a person could kind of beat the system and totally be outside the spirit of the law, and yet still be totally within the letter of the law. So, in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, which is also a very chashuv manual to really deepen and to develop one's thoughtfulness in the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he quotes in there from Rav David Pavarsky, who again addressed this question that many people address. Rishonim and Achronim address. The Gemara is a funny Gemara. How is it possible that a person is Mali Mitzvos Kerimon, and yet he's still called an empty one? The Reikon in Shabbach, even the empty ones of Klal Yisrael. Now, on the one hand, it's a very beautiful, the Netziv, for example, in that Gemara, and the Merom HaYasadah, the Netziv says, Mitzvos, Stam Mitzvos, the Gemara just uses the term Mitzvah Stam, it means Gemilas Chasadim. So you can have a Jew who's essentially an Am Haaretz. He's not a very learned person. He may not even be living necessarily a particularly halachic life, but he's a rake in the sense that he's empty from the normative standards of halacha, and yet he's Mali Mitzvos in the sense that he does a lot of Gemilas Chasadim, and he's a fine human being. So he's rake in terms of his fulfillment of what the 613 of the Torah ask of him, and yet he's full in the sense that he's a productive member of society. But again, how do you understand this concept? So Rav David Pavarsky, yeah. Right, so how can he be Molly and rake?
In other words, it's one guy that, you know, this guy may be a good person.
Right. He's not Molly, right. And that's what was driving the question. How do you have Molly and rake at the same time? You're overflowing with mitzvahs and you're an empty person. How does such a thing exist? So David Pavarsky had a very sharp insight. It's quoted in the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne in Os Mem Dalet, in Os Mem Beis. He says as follows. He says, if you look at a rimon, right, if you think about it, this time of the year, everyone's out purchasing their pomegranates. A rimon's a very unique fruit in the sense that what? When you crack it open, you'll notice that each... Oh, okay. Tonight's learning. has been sponsored by Jeffrey and Miriam Rosenfeld, in memory of Miriam's grandmother, Rus Fruma Bazev Alea Shalom. Okay, we should learn the Ilui Nishmasa. So David Varsky says, crack open the pomegranate, and you'll notice that each seed, right, with its little... Rav Victor Miller used to always talk about the wonder of fruit. And he wrote extensively how a person can really come to a tremendous belief in God just by looking at nature. The Rambam describes that, how a person can become so deeply attached to Hashem by looking at nature. The Chazon Ish himself, and this is such a hard statement to imagine, the Chazon Ish was someone who literally wouldn't pick his head up from a Gemara for years and years and years at a time. The Chazon Ish said, I could stand outside looking at a flower and spend my whole life doing that. There's enough godliness in a single flower poking its head out of the ground to have a lifetime of meaningful thought just by studying a flower. Alach has kam v'kama when we open up Hashem's Torah and we access His Word. But if you look at the pomegranate, each little seed of the pomegranate with its sweet fleshy pulp that surrounds it is really packaged individually. And each one sort of stands apart from the one that's next to it. So Rav Pavarsky said, unlike an apple where it creates, there's an entity. You have a pear, there's an entity. A pomegranate, you crack it open, it's like many fruits packaged into one fruit. So he says, a person could be the type of person where the various mitzvot of his life are not really connected. He's here and he's there and he's mulling mitzvot perimon, but there's nothing that's tying it all together. And he goes on to explain in the Sefer Vav Mishkan Edna that what is the thing that ties it together? It's Dveikus and Hashem. It's somehow saying that when I put on tefillin, it's because I'm serving Hashem. When I keep Shabbos, it's because I'm serving Hashem. And everything that I'm doing when I daven, it's to have a relationship with Hashem. When I give tzedakah, it's to have a relationship with Hashem. To bring everything back to the highest level of Kasher Tziva Hashem, which is a refrain you have over and over in the Torah when Moshe is building the Mishkan, with all of its different parts, but it's always Kasher Tziva Hashem. There's this unifying spirit that makes it into Miksha Achas. It makes it into this one entity. And that's how a person, unfortunately, could spend many years of his life involved in, again, the right things and still feel raked, still feel empty, because he doesn't have that unifying force. He doesn't have the Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad that's sort of tying together the various pieces of his life. And that's really what the Piyazat Sarvi was trying to do. He was trying to put together a sefer to help Jews think about Hashem more, to teach us what that means to think about. He asked the average Jew who's lived years of life, I'm only beginning to understand, what does that mean to think about Hashem? What do I think about? That's what we're going to talk about tonight in Ozdal that we're going to begin tonight. Okay, so let's take a look together at the sheets. Okay, and again, if it's disappointing to jump in sort of in the middle, I hope you'll take advantage of the earlier recorded shiurim to catch up. But in the first paragraphs, he sort of introduces what it means to be thinking of Hashem, and how so many of the mistakes of our life are because we're not focused on Hashem. And how Yom Kippur, he describes very beautifully, he says, Yom Kippur at least is a day where I feel that I'm in the presence of Hashem. We've all felt something different by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur that we don't feel by a typical mincha, in the dead of winter. So it's not that we've never experienced it. It's not that we've never felt that we're Lifnei Hashem. We experience it. Lifnei Hashem Titar. We feel it by the Yom Norah. And the question is, how do I become mindful of that more regularly to have that kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on a daily basis, from one moment to the next? Okay, so let's take a look. We're on page 13, about six lines from the bottom, Os Dalet. So he's describing how a person has to awaken his mind. And very often we spend too much time kind of sleeping our way through, again, through mitzvahs, doing mitzvahs, but in a very, very sleepy state, being a little bit apathetic about the way that we perform mitzvahs. There's no energy to our mitzvahs. There's no light to our mitzvahs. And a mitzvah is a mitzvah regardless. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. You did Hashem's will. But there's something critical that's lacking when a mitzvah is performed without simcha, without energy, without excitement, without a sense of connection to Hashem. Ki'ilu, I'm just, paying my debts and moving on. So he writes as follows. It's down. Aval lama be'emes ein lo li'ish machshava chazaka. So how did it become, and again, this is super relevant in our world today, where the distractions are so abundant and it becomes harder and harder to maintain concentration for even a few moments, right? Any parent is, needlessly, to say, is very concerned for their children who can't, concentrate for one second to the next, because that's just the nature of society, right? And if we're not honest enough to at least be worried for ourselves, we're worried for our kids. Right? We think about, the good old days where a person could at least concentrate for a couple minutes, and now, for one second, the whole world is so fast-paced and everything is instantaneous gratification, and our minds have become very weak by it. I was talking to a student today. He told me, he said when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, after spending 2 years learning, he felt that his davening was on a certain level. And he told me today, he said, he's six, seven years out now. And he says, I haven't been able to get back to that. And he says, and I know it's because of the lifestyle that I live. And he's a person who's learning in Smicha and Wayu. And yet he says, I just know I'm connected to so many different things. It's impossible for us to disconnect. So if I'm, you know, sending 16 emails while sending 15 text messages while making 13 phone calls, right? And then I get clapped, and now I'm supposed to be standing before Hashem, Ashri Hashem Yisecha for Mincha. Of course I'm all over the place. Right? Hasidim Arishonim used to spend it. They didn't have all the distraction. They would spend an hour, the Mishnah says, in Brachos to get themselves ready before they davened. And we think we can just walk in and we're ready to go. And we're not prepared. So how is it that our mind became so weak? Maybe we just, you know, maybe we have a legitimate excuse. So he says, the first thing we need to realize when we describe creating a mind that's mindful of God, it has nothing to do with being smart. It has nothing to do with having certain natural intellectual abilities. If a person says, Gemara, I'm not so good at learning Gemara. It's true, there are people who have a Gemara cup, and there are people who have less of a Gemara cup. That doesn't mean that a person can't overcome certain innate, you know, disabilities in a certain style of thinking. You can learn, you can train yourself to think in a certain way. But what we're trying to, the mindfulness that we're looking to actualize here is very pashut. So you can't really use the excuse, I don't know how to you know, think in that deep way. Right? A person can't really make the claim, she'ein lo moach v'seichel chad, I don't have a sharp mind. V'lo pilpulim v'chakiros, I don't know how to necessarily analyze in a deeply analytical way. Adrahab, what we're looking for here in our relationship with Hashem is something that's actually very, very simple. Adrahab, rak emuna pshuta b'Hashem, Anu darshim ata. We're looking for a simple connection to Hashem. Now that word amun is going to require some clarification and some definition. But look, let's just read a little bit first. It's possible that a person has amuna, and there could be amuna that's active, and there could be amuna that's very much dormant, that's not really playing an active role in his life, that it's concealed within him. Which means that push comes to shove, you can have, and we see, history has proven that you can have a Jew who superficially is not really connected to Hashem, and he doesn't, if you were to ask him, are you living with God in your life, he would say no. And yet that same Jew, and we've seen it throughout our history in tragic ways, right, was willing to sacrifice his life, they, you know, Mesiras Nefesh, to dial Kiddush Hashem, to go to a gas chamber screaming Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when this person shortly before was someone who didn't keep Shabbos and didn't keep kosher and didn't keep Taras Mishpacha, because that Amuna was Ne'elam Abo, was hidden within him. And what we're going to try to work on is how do I become a person where my Amuna doesn't have to always be on the back burner and everything else is on the front of my life and the Amuna remains behind the scenes. He quotes the Pasuk, Rak Bechinas V'hem Min Ba'Hashem V'yachshaveh. Right, the pasuk says in Bereishis Tezvav, "V'ha'min ba'Hashem v'yachshavel etztaka." So it's a big discussion and question that he showed him how to read that pasuk. That he believed in Hashem and he considered it righteousness. Who's the he in the pasuk? Right. So it could be v'ha'min ba'Hashem that Avram believed in Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered that a kindness. Or it could be right v'ha'min ba'Hashem that Avram believed in Hashem, and the v'yachshavelha. And the he thought about it is that Avram was not only the person who believed Hashem and that was it, he kind of left it at that, but Avram was grappling with Hashem. Avram believed in Hashem and yet he was choshev, he was thinking a lot about Hashem, he was trying to understand Hashem better and better, which is why you could have different mamari chazal. You have opinions that Avram discovered Hashem at the age of 3. You have an opinion that Avram discovered Hashem at the age of 40. You have an opinion that Avram discovered Hashem at the age of 48. You have an opinion that Avram discovered Hashem at the age of 52. Right? So how do you have all these different opinions of when exactly did Avram, so to speak, discover Hashem? And the answer is, a Jew who's a healthy, growing Jew is always rediscovering Hashem. And he's always able to say, the Hashem that I knew last year is different than the Hashem that I'm going to get to know this year. I'm going to live with him in a different way. And that's going to play itself out in everything that I do. Again, my superficial commitments to more time for learning in mitzvos, and also the quality of the learning in mitzvos that I do. So Avram was not the type of person, he was debating. Do I believe in God? Do I believe in idols? Okay, he came to a clarification, right? Avram worshipped idols. You look in the Rambam, we forget this sometimes. The Rambam is very clear in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. I think it's Perak Aleph Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says, right, that Avram came from a home of idol worshippers, and he worshipped with them, is the Lashon of the Rambam. So that was the world that he grew up in. And yet he came through thinking to recognize Hashem, but he didn't stop there. V'hemin v'Hashem, v'echshavel. He was constantly being choshev. Shia choshev v'munaso v'machshava rechava, turning the page. Shemamales kol aguf. Right? Is my machshava, again, sort of, my emunah in Hashem, sort of something that lies beneath the surface? Or is it something that fills my existence? Is it mamalias kol aguf? That everything that I do, I feel that I'm living with Hashem. Now again, people are sometimes uncomfortable about this because it sounds like, you know, you have to be this like very Karl Bachian type of Jew. And some people are very comfortable with that. Right? And some people find this to be very abstract. And what does that really mean? So the Pesach Seder is going to show us what it actually means. I listened to a series of shiurim recently on Chabad meditation. I've never listened to anything like that in my life. I listened to a three-part series on Chabad meditation. It was so unbelievable. I said to my wife afterwards when I listened to these shiurim, I said, I'm so angry. I feel like I've been getting ripped off my whole life. These shiurim are teaching me for the first time what it means to really daven. And it starts with a Maamar Chazal. To meditate on the Maamar Chazal in Brachos Daf Yud that says that just like the neshama fills the whole body, Hashem fills the whole world. If you take a minute a day to think about that, to pause and try to understand that the neshama is energizing each part of my body, the motions of my hand, the pumping of the blood through my system. Right? That every bit of my existence is being sustained, is being energized, is brought to life by my neshama. And then after I've sort of internalized that personal connection, that chelik elokam yimal inside me, so now I go big picture. It's a gemara, it's a ma'ir chazal. The same way that the neshama fills the whole body, so too Hashem fills the whole world. So now I take it outside of my little dalet amos, and I go outside and I look at a tree, and I see the tree blowing in the wind, and I say, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving energy to that tree, and that tree has grown over the years, and there's a sun in the sky, and there's birds flying by, and the clouds are moving. And a person all of a sudden enters into this magnificent spiritual world. Right? And you can go further with that. You can go further with that. The Baal Shem Tov took that Maamar Chazal to the second stage, which is instead of saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a neshama which energizes my body, which is my body, what if I understood that my body is really just a ray of Hashem's, you know, light, so to speak, being shown into this world? That it's not just Hashem is giving life to it, and it is its own independent physical reality. But what if that physical reality is an expression of God Himself? How does that change the way I look at a fellow Jew? Maybe someone who I don't like that much. And I'm able to look at him and say, wow, that person's created with Selma Elohim. That's one of Hashem's, you know, Hashem, the master artist that he is, painted me, and he painted you, and he painted this guy, and I connect to some people more, and I connect to other people less, but everyone is a ray, sort of, and again, it sounds very out there and wild, until we start to internalize these ideas. But again, it changes the way you walk down the street. It changes the way that you daven. It changes the way that you sit in front of a Gemara. It changes the way that you keep Shabbos. And it changes the way that you interact with your fellow Jews. It changes our whole approach to Avos Yisrael. So Avram was the type of person who, again, he was thinking about Hashem, and he wanted that his connection to Hashem, the Amunah, shouldn't just be, yes, I believe, and push comes to shove, if you try to take my life, I'll die, I'll kiddush Hashem. But Avram wanted to be the type of person that the Amunah was mamalik kol aguf, he was working on, he was growing in his Amunah. Most of us don't even have a clue what that means. They don't know how do you either I believe or I don't believe. What do I mean to grow in my Amunah? To have better Amunah on Hashem. Again, it sounds like a far-out idea that's not very practical. And the Pesach Seder Rebbe is going to try to make it very practical for us. So continuing in the top line on page 14. V'lama ta'adr lo le'ish Yisrael, shehum ibnei neviyim, min dimyon zeh u'machshav zeh. So why is it so hard for us, if we come from neviyim, right? To be a Navi, a person by definition has to be creative. The Navi tells us they used to play instruments in order to arouse the spirit of Nevuah. Right? We come from such creative people who had such deep connections. We're able to understand things in such a deeper way. So how is it possible that today we can barely turn our minds on to live with any type of awareness? And he gives a very practical and very rational response to this question. Why is it that our minds don't perceive the presence of Hashem? It's very simple. It's the same way that if you have a physical muscle and you don't use it for a long period of time, right? It's going to be very difficult to reawaken those muscles, to retrain those muscles. Right? The muscle memory has been trained through the inactivity in a certain negative way. So the same thing is true with our mind. If I go 10, 20, 30 years of my life and I never try to be like Avram, who's thinking about Emunah, who's grappling with Emunah issues. It's funny, there was a philosopher once came to a Rebbe. And he said to the Rebbe, he was, you know, presenting all of his issues with God. And the Rebbe says to him, you know what? I'm so jealous of you. He says, why? He says, because by me, God is a davar pasha. I believe in God, and that's it. And then like I go about and do my thing. Because you're thinking about God all day long. Now, you're questioning God all day long, but you're thinking about God all day long. That's a very high level. Avram was grappling with God all day long, and that's how he became the Avram Avinu, the pillar of Amunah that he was. So why is it so hard for us today, says the P.S.S. Rebbe, to turn our minds on? Pashat Hu, he says in the third line, because these are spiritual muscles that we've never utilized before. If I don't use certain physical parts of my body, over time they will become weakened. The same thing is true in the spiritual world. And more than that, not only am I not actualizing and not using my spiritual potential, not trying to bring it out, but I am spending a lot of time engaging my guf. So my guf is nice and firm, it's worked out, it's strong, it's very much present in my life, and the spiritual side of myself has been kind of asleep for many, many years. So obviously the body becomes the primary voice of my existence. It overpowers my neshama to the point that I even wonder at times, is there anything to my neshama? And what does it mean to have deeper emunah? I don't even understand what that concept means, because I'm living in a world where my guf is what I'm primarily focused on. And he gives again a very practical example from the natural world. Uvedavar kazeh. Mishtamshim gam harofim lachlosh atzavim shenis kalkula v'nis pagla machshavasa. He says, what happens when a person's very nervous, right? And their nerves are shot, and it's having a real physical effect on that person, right? Their mind is terribly unsettled. They're caught up in all sorts of, and it's causing tremendous anxiety. It's causing emotional stress. So, what would a doctor recommend to help a person get a little bit out of his head? What does he do? Miyatzimoso, they give him the following advice: Lishamish rak b'koch gufo b'lamachshava. Try to be busy, try to engage your body a lot, so you're not thinking so much. Because every time you're thinking, you become anxious, and every time you're thinking, you become depressed, and every time you're thinking, you become nervous. So the doctor might give you very practical advice: get very involved, start working out, engage the body more, and that way the mind won't have time to sort of run around and cause all sorts of agmas nefesh for you, all sorts of troubles of the spirit. And when a person does that, then even the machshavos of the guf become suppressed. He becomes so caught up in the physicality of the guf that his the nerves, which are affecting, again, the guf, not just his mind, but his guf, are going to become relaxed. Because instead of sitting around wearing all day, he's playing basketball, and he's working out, and he's engaging his body in a different type of way. So says the PSS therapy, the same thing is true if we want to flip the system back the other direction. We have to somehow start to engage our mind, engage our souls a little bit more. And by doing so, automatically, some of the desires of the body, you'll see, right? Some of the desires of the body that are not spiritually healthy will all of a sudden start to quiet down a little bit. The cave and shekane, kisherotin anu lifso psia gas zo. When I want to begin to take that first leap of faith, so to speak, to become a person who's not living so much through the body, but living through the spirit, the same way when you're teaching, he says, a yelled, a child, you're trying to accustom the child, to create a hergel. You want the child to become accustomed to walking, and that means that the child is going to start walking, you're going to hold his hand, then you're going to pull your hands back a little bit, let the child try to take a few steps, and then you grab on, and you're training the child, right? So the same thing is true, we have to train our spirits, we have to train ourselves in a very forced type of way, to be thinking about Hashem. That might mean just, deciding, okay, I'm going to make a commitment, that I'm going to spend 2 minutes a day thinking about Hashem. Again, I may not even know what to think about, right? For many people, you tell them to think about Hashem for 2 minutes. I don't know what to think about. What do you think about? Do I think about, I might start thinking about learning Torah. That's not thinking about Hashem, that's thinking about Torah. I might think about mitzvahs. That's thinking about mitzvahs. What do you mean to think about Hashem? We don't even have the tools to do that. That's what I meant when I said I felt like I've been ripped off for the first 34 years of my life. But I'm trying to do something about it. Right? So we're trying to train ourselves. We're trying to train our spiritual muscles. And Muna, the Baal HaTanya, writes, in the 42nd chapter of Tanya, He says that Amuna is Milashon Omen. Omen's an artist, a craftsman. Right? An artist trains himself or herself, or a musician, let's say, trains himself or herself to perform without thinking. At first, when a person's learning to play piano, this is what the Baal HaTanya essentially gives this mashal. You're learning to paint, so you're very thoughtful about every stroke. A person's learning to play an instrument, you're learning to play guitar, right? Guitar is even harder than piano, at least at the beginning. And you're literally taking your finger and placing it on the string and making sure that, you know, it's properly placed within the fret. And it takes a long time to go from one chord to the next chord. Once a person's trained, right, again, the muscle memory is such that it's automatic. So the same thing is true when we're training our souls. We have to work out our souls. We have to engage our souls. The same way this child is learning to walk for the first time, we're learning to spiritually be engaged for the first time, perhaps. And by doing so, we have to develop a certain spiritual muscle memory. So he says, he concludes the paragraph, and the advantage to this will be twofold. Number one, spiritually we'll become much more elevated people, but also physically, the physical struggles that we have, right, the pseudo-spiritual physical struggles that we have, where the body has certain desires that are taking me away from Avodas Hashem, automatically, again, the same way that when I was working out my body, I barely felt like I had a neshama, so now I'm flipping the system by engaging my neshama automatically. A person who has certain physical desires, physical drives, automatically they'll quiet down. So the schar, the benefit will be twofold. Ki lo dai shetisgala banu machshava ila, shelo hirgashnuha mikodem. Not only will we begin to taste a certain spirituality that we've never imagined existed in ourselves, elishagam arse chushe haguf. The poisonous senses of the guf will also become weakened automatically. Al yidei avodas hamachshava v'chizuka. Kamosha avodas haguf mechaleshes as machshava kanes kelel. The same way that when I engage the body, again, the body's weakened my machshava, my thoughts, by being too much attached to the world. I wasn't able to find the time to think. Now that I'm making the time to think, my body will automatically fall into line. And then the body will actually no longer be an enemy of the soul, but it'll actually be a partner to the soul. Okay, let's see, what time is it? Okay, let's see if we can do a little bit more. So now, here's for some of us, this might be a question that's very much on our mind. Those of us who are beginners, which I certainly am, and I'm sure many of us are, and we see ourselves as simple Jews, certainly in this regard. This is a whole new world of Jewish thought for us. We've never experienced sort of this higher level thinking about God. We'll ask the following very strong question. It's a question that's rooted just in practicality, and it's rooted in halacha. I said before, think about God. Just spend a minute thinking about God. Well, I believe that God doesn't have a body. Right? Okay. So Gersh will tell us there's some Rishonim who maybe believe that God did have a body. Right, but I think normative. What did you say? Pasha reading of the Torah. Okay. Right. Yad Hashem, that's Melukim. Good. Right? But, I think it's normative Judaism says, in accordance with the 13 principles of the Rambam. Right? And obviously there were Rishonim who had different principles. But we normally assume that God didn't have a body. So what am I supposed to think about God? What does that even mean? So you're telling me you want to awaken a greater sense of mindfulness. So what am I going to think about more? So I'm going to be more mindful of the tree outside? That's also chashuv. Yeshaya Navi said, "Su'u merom einechem ur'u mi bara eila." Right, look to the heavens, look at the starry sky, and then you'll realize mi bara eila, who created all this. So you can come to a deeper appreciation of God by looking at a beautiful sunset, looking at a tree, looking at a star in the sky. But again, that's not thinking about God. We want to talk about how do I really engage? How do I engage Hashem Himself? That's the deepest thing that we're seeking in this world. Dveikus b'Hashem, not dveikus, in the idea of Hashem in an abstract way, in a roundabout way. So, a person who might be cynical or might just be curious will ask the following question. First of all, number one, what do I need all this for? Why do I need to actualize this? What's wrong with my life right now? When I'm going to meet three times a day, and I'm being kovei itim l'Torah, and I'm following halacha to the best of my ability, what's missing in my life that I really need to get involved with this? But more than that, the more important existential question that we really want to ask is eiza machshava bichlal yesh banu. What exactly am I trying to think about? Well, eiza davar heim muchsharm. What do I believe that my mind is actually capable of? Because Because everything I've experienced up to this point tells me that what we're trying to begin to engage here doesn't exist. So what am I going to do? I'm going to try to be more philosophical about every rock that I see on the ground and every tree that I see. Like the Chazon Ish said, I could stare at a flower and see God in that. Is that what we're getting at here? And how does exactly does this help me when I get more connected to trees and to the world around me? Sometimes a person gets up to daven and he wasn't just sending 15 emails and he feels that, you know what, I am ready to daven and I spent a minute thinking about some of the things that I might need in Rifa'inu, in Baruch Aleinu, right? In Hashiva Shofteinu. I've thought about something and I'm ready to daven and my mind is clear and now I want to engage, but what am I engaging in? What am I attaching to? Right? My mind is chazaka oz, verotim anu lachshav machshav elokis. I want to think about God, but I don't know what that means. Gam kin chaser alanu ma lachshav. Where do I start with this? Ki davar gufni shein nitzayres kvodo yisbarach. If I start picturing Hashem as some old man with a white beard in the heavens, well, that's not really proper. Right? A, that's not who Hashem is. And B, that might be against the halacha. Be'ezah dimyon v'guf, right? If I start picturing Hashem as having a body or having a particular tzura, a particular image or expression, that's usur, k'divrei HaRambam, b'har v'mekomos. U'b'prat b'ilchus tshuva yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam says we don't think of God in terms of, you know, some tzaddik of an individual with a long white beard in the heavens. That's not what God is. So what am I thinking about? What are we trying to connect to here? L'damos l'achshov tzura, top of page 15, ruchnis mufshata me'olam hazeh, and to just try to think about things in a very abstract, esoteric way, I don't know what that means either. In machshav aseinu mukshrav yechola. My mind doesn't know how to do that. To think about nothing is also feels very empty. So what exactly am I trying? I'm trying to expand my machshava. Ha'im machshava v'dimyon. My mind, which right now thinks about my house and the construction that I'd like to do in my house, or thinks about my family, or thinks about other needs of the body. That's my whole world. So where am I supposed to go with my thoughts now? Am I just trying to deepen that? How does that help? Am I trying to think about God? Well, what is God? To think about Him, He doesn't have a body. Am I just trying to expand my mind in a general sense? And where do I go with that? So if I was more connected to my house, if I had deeper machshavos about my house, or my friends, or a tree, so then all of a sudden I'm standing in the presence of Hashem. He concludes the paragraph. Ulefi seichel apashut yechola hisrach v'es machshava kazu od lahashlich asadim lidei hazaya or hizaya ulasos lebal dimyon shav. I'm opening my mind up to emptiness. I'm going to become a person who has all these wild fantasies which are just not healthy. I'm going to be a person with a bal dimyon shav, a person of empty delusions. That's not the goal. So what am I trying to think about? So the P.S. Esner, we'll end with this. The P.S. Esner gives the following mashal. Aval ka'amar she'eila kazu, he says, the only reason we ask that question is because we're trying to experience a part of ourselves that we've never experienced before. So I'm not convinced that it exists. And 34 years of life experience tells me that way. For some of us, more years than some of us, maybe less. Right? You see how old it is? Okay, 16 years, right? Maybe we never tasted this before. So he says it's fair to ask this question. Again, the second paragraph on page 15. Matima, this question only emerges. I've never refined this aspect of myself. It's not perfected yet, so I don't know how it works. He says, my whole world is the world of the guf. And when I use my mind, I try to think about things of the guf, right? I think about my business. I think about what I'm going to have for lunch. What I'm going to drink. Where I'm going to sleep tonight. Right? I think about you know the needs of my body. And the true deep machshavos have yet to emerge. It's never poked its head out. So these higher level visions and thoughts, which are really rooted in the prophecy that every Jew is really shaykh to, has a connection to, Gam kin ra gidul v'yisrach was machshava could go in eilu he v'shoel. I only know how to think about the things I know how to think about, and therefore I am asking this question. So Pizas the Rabbi gives the following mashal. Lama davar doma. To what can this be compared? La'ani hamachshav psachim rachmanu litzlam. Imagine this poor fellow who goes door to door. That's the only way he can make ends meet. He goes door to door and he collects a little here, a little there. One night he has the following dream. It's a great mashal. Look at this mashal. Shecholam lo sheyasa melech. He had a dream that he's going to become the king. Now his whole world is a schlepper who goes door to door collecting handouts. That's his whole world, unfortunately. Vayehi b'boker. He wakes up the next morning and he's terribly distraught. Why is he distraught? V'tispay imrucho. His spirit is pounding inside of him. Vayevch, and he's crying. Why is he crying? Vayomar. Ma'im leparnasas b'nei beisi levad hu mochach l'saviv es kol iro achemotze b'yagir abba. It was so hard for me just to put food on the table, but going door to door to provide for my family, four or five, six people. Vayatel. But now, in my dream, they told me I'm going to be the melech. And now I'm responsible for the kingdom. How am I going to go door to door collecting to have the needs of the kingdom? I have to support an army. I have to support a kingdom. If I went to every door in the world, I wouldn't be able to collect enough money to sustain my kingdom. And even if I had the strength of rocks, right? Even if I was very firm in my ability, I'm going to go literally door to door around the entire world. What's the problem with this fellow? Nebuch, his whole world is going door to door collecting handouts. He doesn't understand that when you're the melech, that also comes with the otros ha-melech. And it comes with the treasuries of the melech. And he's going to be able to supply himself, his own needs, and the needs of the kingdom in a very, very different way. He measures his malchus, his newly found malchus, the mitzvah shel anius. He's filtering it through his world view, which is being a poor person. She afarnes is called chelo raka yedeshi asaviv al psachim. He thinks the only way to be afarnes, my kingdom is to go door to door. Kamoshim afarnes is bnei beso, but ani also rachmana litzlan. The same way I was afarnes my family when I went door to door. Ve'eni yachol romim es atzo me'al evyonuso. She avin she'oz kol ofen parnasoso tiacheres. He doesn't realize that he's about to enter a totally different world with different rules, with different gedarim of how life is going to function. So says the Pizas Rebbe, very much the question that we're going to be asking as we get started with this, trying to understand, is this real? Does he know what he's talking about? Or is he making this stuff up and trying to tap into something that's not really there? Right? It's fair for us to ask. But again, he says the reason we're asking it is only because of our limited perspective and our limited life experience. And we haven't really activated our mind. We haven't lived a life of mindfulness, right? And again, this doesn't mean that we're going to walk out of this chavura, for those of us who continue to learn and read the Shem next week. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to finish the Sefer, and then we're going to be spending 3 hours a day sitting in a forest doing, you know, his bodhis, like a breast of a chassid in Tzfat. But it might mean that when you're driving on the highway and you're stuck in traffic, right, and instead of fidgeting with the radio to find something to listen to, you'll be able to have a conversation with Hashem. And that will change everything in your life. It will change the relationships we have with our spouses and our children and our coworkers. It'll change the way that we daven. It'll change the way that we learn. And we'll be able to feel that, you know, that I really have something very powerful inside of ourselves. And we'll feel ripped off. We'll feel like all these years I was going around. But it's okay. It's okay. Hashem is allowing us to discover a part of ourselves, and it's going to be a journey. But Ritz Hashem, we'll journey together. So thank you very much to everyone for coming. Chsiva Chsiva Tova. And Ritz Hashem, we'll pick up a Ritz Hashem next time.